When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This episode is with a dog owner who has tried everything but the right things. So I know you guys are going to like this podcast, and I know for sure you're going to get a lot of value from this. Netherlands and Europe, I'm coming to you guys this fall. I'm very excited to get over there. We have audit tickets still available. Nashville, Tennessee, I'm also coming to you this fall. All of the ticket information is in the show notes. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. And if you do, please leave us a review. It means the world to us. We do this absolutely for free. And I appreciate you guys listening. And have a great day. Smile. Smile. It's good. Life is good.
So I have two dogs.
Okay.
They're both rescues. They're both pity mixes. Sparky is the dog that I'm really calling about. He's not a pity mix. I just found out he's 100% American Pit Bull Terrier. And he's just like, when I got him about almost 2 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
he was a very fearful. He was just over 1 year old. He was pretty fearful, of a lot of people mostly. And then, so I got him in like December, and it's very important to say it's my first dog. I didn't grow up with dogs, and it's the first time I've had a dog. So I don't have like skills or, you know, knowledge of any kind. I've just been doing a lot of like Googling and talking to people and things like that to try to figure stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But, like probably around July. So, you know, 7 months into having him, his fearfulness kind of turned into more aggression. And I started noticing it because we live in a small city, we live in Richmond, Virginia. And so, you know, there are people like when we walk and things like that, you know, there's people around. And he started just randomly like lunging at people.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to jump. So he like jumps up and he kind of like goes for the nipple
mm-hmm.
or he just jumps up and like, you know, will like grab onto the clothing, and it's just like a quick nip. It's not like but it's, you know, obviously not okay. And, it like damages clothing sometimes and scares people a lot. And, you know, it just kind of started. So I've been like trying a lot of tactics, and I had him at, three different positive reinforcement dog trainings. They were all like where you drop him off for a week. And after the last one, he was like, he definitely has separation anxiety from me. So he was like he like lost enough weight that like after only a week, I was like, whoa, he lost weight. Mm-hmm. And he had like lost all the fur behind his ears.
Mm.
And he now has no tolerance. So this particular trainer was a police dog trainer, positive reinforcement. I was afraid to do like collar training with him just because
so
he's just like very stubborn.
Okay, yeah. So what do you mean by collar training?
Just where they like where you put on like the shock collar and then use that to like communicate with the dog if what they're doing is good or bad.
Okay.
I just was like kind of, I don't know, just from stuff I read, I was like, maybe I shouldn't do it with him because he's like very stubborn and like fearful. So I don't know. I had a couple friends who were like really against it. So I was going to positive reinforcement trainers, not necessarily. I have actually recently been thinking maybe I should go try that. But anyway, so I'm just trying to give you, sorry, I'm just trying to give you like all this history. So after this one trainer who he like has no tolerance and goes like kind of berserk if he runs into like, if we run into like a German Shepherd or a Husky. So I'm assuming, well, I know she had some German Shepherds, but like I put this together like weeks after that, you know, we would be approached by like a really friendly German Shepherd and he would just go crazy. And I, you know, had to just keep him away from. So now I just keep him away from those dogs. Like if we see one, we like cross immediately. I mean, we pretty much cross immediately now if any person or dog is coming. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so it just kind of like escalated. And then I was trying some different, you know, I went to those trainers. They had some different tactics like throwing treats on the ground to kind of like calm Sparky down. So he was like sniffing and like, you know, reducing his heart rate and not focusing on the, you know, the person or the dog. So I had like various things like that. I ended up kind of ended up having a command called Soldier, where he knows it's a prolonged sit. And he actually has figured out that he has to wait until the person passes us and then he gets a treat. So I just started doing that when I like can't for some reason like cross or get away. Then I step on his leash and I just in case he doesn't do it, and we soldier, and then he gets, you know, and he does that really well, and he's, yeah.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
So can you explain to me the, so you worked with, to clarify, I'm asking, not telling. So you've worked with five positive reinforcement only trainers.
Three.
Yeah. So meaning they only are giving the dog positive reinforcement to encourage behaviors, because that's what that is. And when you're working on, so you've worked on a couple different things, right? And some of those things throughout the training process has been scatter feeding, basically throwing food on the ground, hoping that the dog is interested in the food instead of reacting and jumping on people. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also worked on a command. What is the Soldier command? Is that just like a chill out? Like I got a little confused on the Soldier command.
It's a long sit. So it's like you have to sit and then wait and hold the sit until, you know, it's not like a short, like just sit and then you get a treat. It's a sit and wait. People pass and then you get a treat.
Is there any difference between putting the dog into a sit and soldier? Like, is it basically the same thing?
No, we do. I do sit a lot, like just Sparky.
Okay.
Hold
so, on
1 second.
Sure.
I do sit all the time, just like if we're like, you know, in the house and like just do a sit and he'll get like a treat or something. But this Soldier, he knows that he has to wait for the people or the dog to pass us. So sometimes that takes like, you know, 30 seconds or a minute or something, and that he has to sit and wait. And if, and when they pass, he'll get the treat. So there is a difference. I mean, he recognizes what he needs to do to get the treat on the Soldier is wait for the people.
Okay.
Also, sit and wait for the people.
Okay. And if you told him to sit, like right now, if you went out with him and you told him to sit, it would be like the same expectation, right? Like he would be expected to sit until the person passed, but it's just like a different.
No. Well, maybe he would do it. I've never said sit and made him wait for the person. I don't know why I say Soldier when we're waiting for someone to pass.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so what? So out of the training that you've done, what has been helpful and what has not been helpful?
Well,
just so I don't, you know, moving forward to give you a game plan, just so we.
No, yeah, of course, yeah. Like most of the tactics for like sniffing and stuff, like I have to actually, because I just don't trust him. Like, well. I shouldn't say it like that. I should say if he were to not listen when I said Soldier, the repercussion would be that he would like jump up and like nip someone,
right.
bite someone.
Right.
So I've just decided I just can't trust, because the consequence is too much. So
okay.
I always step on his leash. If I just like throw treats or something, that will not keep him from lunging. And there have been a couple right. of times here and there where I've done Soldier and he's kind of like lurched a little, but I'm stepping on his leash so I can't go anywhere.
Right.
So I just, so a lot of those haven't worked, and I just don't know if there could be things, other tactics for, like introducing people to him, having him not be as reactive. I just don't know if I'm like missing an opportunity to help him more interact with the environment. Maybe I've sort of, to be honest, like I've sort of accepted that he's going to be reactive and I have to just like, you know, not put him in reactive situations. But the danger of that is there could always be a situation that I don't like, where I like don't get there or fast enough or foresee it, or I'm just like not paying attention, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So I don't know if there's more that I could be doing to like bring down his anxiety, help him interact with people in a more successful way, or I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. 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 It's definitely a good question to ask, because that's the ultimate goal, is to be able to go out and really be with your dog without the worry of your dog making a mistake and nipping somebody, right?
Yeah.
So when you were saying that the repercussion if your dog doesn't listen, this is interesting. I've never heard it worded like this. That's why I want to dig a little into this. So the repercussion for your dog not listening, if you put him into a sit, is they will reach out and try to potentially nip somebody, bite somebody. Mm-hmm. But what is your repercussion if you tell a dog to sit and they reach out? Because here's the reality of dogs, unfortunately, in these circumstances, nipping people or biting people, is your dog's life depends on it, right? So Sparky jumps up and nips the wrong person. Most people would be like, whoa, what's going on, buddy? You know, but some people, you know, they don't like dogs, they're in a bad mood, whatever, and your dog's life depends on it, right? So not ideal. So I know you said that the repercussions for your dog jumping up is potentially that, which is, you know, worst case scenario. Obviously, we don't want somebody bit. We don't want your dog to be taken away from you or anything like that crazy. But what is the repercussions if they do it to them? Like how do they feel? Like how does Sparky feel when this happens, right? Like what are you doing to tell Sparky what he's doing is wrong instead of just letting him try to make a good decision.
Well, if he does jump up, I mean, the reality is that sometimes when he like reacts, or like if he goes to lunge for someone and I didn't, like, let's say they come around a corner, I didn't see it or something, mm-hmm. is that I'm so frantically trying to like grab him and make sure, like, you know,
yeah,
that sometimes they don't have a reaction. So there's probably like a good percentage of the times where I like don't communicate with him that it was like not okay. But I do, if it's not as bad, or I don't know if I'm able to get there fast enough, I'll say like, no, you know, no. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, maybe like put my finger up, like no. Or like maybe sometimes I'll like swat him on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
No. But that's it. I should say this. Sometimes when he does it, if I'm like close enough to home, I'll grab like really close to, so that he has to walk like right next to me on the leash, and we'll march home and I'll put him in his crate.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we're not close to home, cause I go on long walks with him. So, sometimes I'm not close to home, so that's just not like feasible. Or it could be feasible, but but I don't do it. So that's on me, I guess.
Okay.
Or if like we're in the house and someone comes over and he like does something. So sometimes I'll have people over, even just now while I was talking to you, my mom opened the door. he barked and he ran up kind of aggressively to her. She put her backpack in between them, and she and my dog have a great relationship. Like, he knows her.
But and how did you how did you handle that situation when he got aggressive towards your mom?
She said no, and I pulled him back and shut the door. But I was also on the phone with you, so it's like that situation where, you know, it's like maybe I missed an opportunity to do something other than. But what I would have done if I wasn't on the phone is say no and like pull him over and say no.
Okay.
That's about it. That's what I've been doing.
Okay.
It's not necessarily working great.
No, it's. I'm not. I need to know this information in order to help. So I'm not trying to do anything other than figure out what, you know, what you're doing, and that way I can isolate what, you know, how do we make this better. So right now, Sparky has never been punished for doing the things that you don't want him to do, right? Like you haven't assertively been able to punish him.
The times when I march him home and put him in his crate, I don't know if he sees that as a punishment.
Right. But here's the thing. I want you to understand timing. Timing is absolutely crucial. Yeah. So by the time your dog jumps up to bite somebody and you go home, like how long does it take you to march home and then put him in? He has no idea what's going on.
I know. And that's why when I'm so far away, I'm like, he's not going to understand what I'm doing.
Correct. You were correct.
Yeah.
Right. So here's what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a human, you, struggling with a dog, Sparky, that has, you know, you're having these issues, right? You're having these reactivity issues, right? The problem right now is you haven't actually corrected him for this behavior, which means your boat is leaking, right? And you're sinking, but you don't have the opportunity. Like you're like, oh, I don't know what to do here, right? And it's never fixed. Like you're not actually assertively fixing the hole in the boat, right? You're taking a spoon or a cup and you're telling other people, come help me get the water out of the boat, but you're not actually assertively, wait a minute, let's just stop the leak, right? And that's just one analogy. Right. I mean, you know, so with that being said, that's the first thing. And that's why I asked so many questions is really to figure out and analyze what's going on. So to me, we have Sparky. He's about 3 years old. He's a pit bull. He's reacting. He's jumping up at people, grabbing people's chest, you know, by their face. Not good. Not ideal. Yeah. Stressful for you. Stressful for your dog. Stressful for the other people. But the problem is, and I've been, and obviously you have somewhat trust in me because you booked this call with me. And so I've been doing this for a very long time. And I'm sure all the other people that you've paid already, the three other dog trainers had said the same thing. It didn't work, and you're still here. And one of the main reasons why dog owners fail and they don't see progress is commonly the route and the roadmap that you're on. Okay, we have a dog, and it's fear, it's reactivity, it's insecurity, it's whatever. It's usually all three of it's a blend, right? It's like, oh, I don't really know what to do. I'm nervous. I'm insecure. What do we do? So there's the base of the relationship, which needs to get better in order for your dog not to feel like they need to do this. But furthermore than that, right now, your dog is doing things that ultimately can cost them their own life, unfortunately. And it would be terrible, right? And here's the thing is like the reality is if your dog bites the wrong person, bites a kid, that's the reality that you're dealing with. And I don't mean to sound dark or dramatic, but I've been doing this long enough and being an animal control officer at one point in my life, it's like I've seen it happen. It's like, holy crap, it's crazy to think about. But my point is you haven't corrected the dog for doing it. That's the main, that's the main reason. It's not the main reason why it's happening. It's the main reason why it keeps happening.
Okay.
We're going to talk about both of those things. We're going to talk about why it's happening. And then we're going to talk about why it keeps happening. And that's the first thing I'll say is, your dog is jumping up, going to lunge to somebody. Worst case scenario is you pull him back. So two things happen in that moment. It's a strategy that causes more stress because it makes the dog more frustrated. Okay? Somebody's really mad. What happens when you put pressure on that person and say, get back, you pull him back. It makes it worse, right? They get, it just that fire goes, boom, it inflames, right? So your dog's sitting there going, I don't know what to do. Mom, I'm not sure. This person, they're getting close and they're going to attack. Boom. And they go. And they go, I got to get him, right? And they go. And it doesn't matter if that's not the scenario. It sounds like that's what it is. But even if they're like, I don't like people, I'm going to nail this person. It's not the case because your dog's not nailing people. Your dog's just nipping people, which means they don't want to do it. They're not committed to do it. They don't know what to do. Mm. So because of your lack of foundation with the dog and your relationship with the dog, that's why they feel like they have to do it. And the reason why I know that is because if a dog wanted to hurt somebody, if they actually wanted to attack somebody, they would be. Your dog is choosing to take their little tiny teeth that can shred bone, crack bone within a second, right? They have the capacity to do so. They're not. They're just nipping. They're grabbing. They're mouthing. Right. They're et cetera. So that's what Sparky's doing. So it's not an attack.
The warning, yeah,
it's not an attack. Yeah. It's, I don't know what to do.
I know, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. I've tried to say it. It just sounds so silly when you're trying to tell someone like, well, my dog doesn't like attack and he doesn't bite attack people. He just kind of like,
right.
It's like he's, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean by that. Yeah. Okay.
I got you. I get it. I've seen it 1,000 bazillion times every year. So yeah. I get it. Trust me. So it's obviously not good. But my point is when this happens, you pulling the dog back makes it worse. You're just making it worse. Each time that this happens, you're making it worse because what the dog really needs is leadership, not smoldering fires, right? So if the dog jumps up and tries to nip somebody and you pull them back with their leash or grab them by their collar or their harness or whatever the heck they're on, they're just going to want to keep going. It just makes them frustrated. You're making things worse, right?
Okay.
The other thing that it's, and I don't know for sure, but I'm again taking everything with a grain of salt, but the context that you've told me, the other thing that you're doing is you're using scatter feeding to avoid the conflict, which isn't terrible. It's just, again, it's almost like, again, bringing the boat out and you're sinking and you're like, you know what? Instead of going out in the boat today, let's go swimming. It's like, but it's not fixing your sinking boat. So at some point you're going to have to handle that because you're going to have to get back in the boat, right? So that's the other thing that's going on there with the scatter feeding. It, again, it's not a terrible thing to do. It's just a Band-Aid. So here's what I have done in the past that has worked hundreds, thousands of times over and over again. It's something that is pretty easy to understand. But right now you have to, there's two things that you have to be working on in order for this to be successful. Your dog has to know leave it, and your dog should know a basic sit, right? So here's the problem right now is your soldier command's the same thing as a sit. If I tell my dog to sit, it's the same exact thing as a soldier. The only difference is there's going to be a distraction, but it's the same exact thing.
Like
The only difference is you have conditioned your dog that when you say soldier, there's going to be a person involved.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
okay,
in my experience, working with dogs who are fearful and a little bit insecure and things like that, cueing the idea that there's going to be somebody there to stress them out could actually make things worse. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. I do. I understand that.
So I would just be working on your basic sit and working on the sit over time. Now, if you're, let's just, for an example, like when you tell your dog to sit and he doesn't sit or he gets out of his sit, what do you do?
I don't move or like change the situation until he sits.
What do you mean?
I don't let him that we stay there. Well, like if we're on a walk and I say sit and he doesn't sit, we stand there until he sits.
Really? Okay. I wouldn't do that. I would not do that. That's not ideal. That is, okay. That's again, part of the reason why this is getting worse. So right now your dog's barking at something outside or at the door. Okay. If he knew come or whatever he's barking at something.
Yep.
If you said Sparky come, this is your baseline relationship with your dog, okay? If you tell your dog to do something that they know and they don't do it, you're just going to sit there and wait for them to do it. Somebody's going to get bit?
Yeah.
100%.
Well, no. I mean, if somebody else is in the picture.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like, let's say.
Oh, yeah. I thought you thought, like, if it's just the two of us and I say sit and doesn't, I'll just stay there and tell him to sit until he sits.
Okay, so you waited out
just
until
walk
he
away
sits.
and be like, oh, he didn't sit. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
But
I don't know.
But isn't it the same thing as if somebody was to come to your house and you said sit and he didn't? What would you do then?
He wouldn't sit if someone came to the house.
Right.
He wouldn't. He gets like agitated. So if someone comes to the house, I put him in his crate.
Okay.
I don't like let that because, like I said before, like I can't.
Let's say you're, yeah, I get it. Let's say you're out with him and somebody's walking by and you tell him to sit and he doesn't, then what do you do?
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Kind of, he is pretty good about sitting when we're out like that. And again, I step on his leash just in case. I do the same thing as in the house. I'll like stand there until he sits,
okay.
But I'll be standing on his leash. I'll also put my foot on his leash to make sure he doesn't, just in case he lunges.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I would definitely start changing that. So right now, okay. If you tell your dog to do something and he doesn't want to do it, the worst case scenario is you just sit there and it's crickets. And that's not healthy. It's really not healthy. I know obviously you don't know any better, obviously, like that you're not doing this intentionally. So, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything, but it's, When you're training a dog that is fearful, they're eagerly, frantically looking for leadership. Okay? They are like, please somebody step in and please control the situation. Like their life depends on it, quite literally. And when you tell your dog to do something and they're like, no, I can't, I won't, I don't want to, and the person that's supposed to be in charge says, I don't care, that's fine, you don't have to. That's the best way to start de-escalating and dissolving and diluting your relationship. Like when you tell your dog to do something and they don't want to do it and you just go, oh, okay. Like right with
But I don't do that. I stand there and we don't change. We don't like go to the next thing or take another step on the walk until they do it.
Right.
Like, so it's
but
not doing nothing. I mean, I'm not saying it's the right thing, but it's not doing nothing and it's not.
So if you're standing
you
there.
You know what I mean?
Kind of. Mm-hmm. If you're standing there with Sparky and there's a chicken or a duck or a person and you say sit and he doesn't sit, you told me that you just stand there and do nothing until he sits.
I stand there, and I'm standing, if there's a like an animal or a person, I'm standing on his leash.
Right,
but that's just. There and say, and I'll repeat sit until he sits. Like, and we don't move to the next thing until he sits, and he like follows that instruction.
Until he lunges and bites somebody.
No, I'm standing on his leash. In that situation, I'm trying to like I. It's kind of tough because in that situation, just because things have escalated to where they are. I say soldier, and I step on his leash, and he usually, like, it's like 95% of the time, he sits and he waits. He's pretty good about it. I mean, that command is, I know you're saying it's like a sit, so it's like irrelevant. So maybe whatever, but the sit, the long sit or the soldier, it is the most effective thing that we have figured out.
Right. Okay. So when are the?
But if in a situation where there's not people or like a distraction, it's just like, you know, I'm asking him to sit and he doesn't do it. I will repeat sit until he eventually sits.
Right. So there's
here's a better example. This is when I do that, just to give you like an idea. So he sometimes pulls on the leash, not mm-hmm. always, but sometimes, and especially if he like just saw a squirrel, then he'll be like a little bit pulling. So I'll say, you know, no pulling, which he knows what that means. Sometimes he just gets a little amped up. So I think it's like he tries, but he like goes back to pulling pretty quickly.
Okay.
So I'll like draw him next to me and like, again, hold the leash closer so that he's next to me, like heeling essentially. And then we'll walk like a block and then I'll say, Sparky, sit. And sometimes then he won't sit because I think he just doesn't want to. And we'll stand there and I'll repeat sit until he sits and we don't move forward again until he sits. And then if he sits, I like praise him and like, you know, like we'll like pat him on the head and then we get to walk again and he gets to have his leash back. That's like an example of him just willfully not sitting.
Okay. So when you're out with him and he pulls you mm-hmm. and you say, don't mm-hmm. pull, and he goes right back to pulling. Mm-hmm. And then you stop and you say sit and he doesn't sit. You just continue to tell him to sit until he hopefully does.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I grab the leash and I bring him close to me so that he's essentially not, he doesn't have his leash anymore. Like he's not free to, you know, have like the, you know, 4 or 5 feet to like sniff around and mm-hmm. enjoy his walk as much. He's right next to me. We walk for like a block and then I tell him to sit and and sometimes then he doesn't sit. So I'll sit there and I'll be like, Sparky, sit. And we won't do anything until he sits. So eventually he'll sit because he wants to keep walking. And then I'll like praise him and I'll let him have his leash back.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that. That is again, like one of the, it's just like, it's really detrimental to your relationship. That's why you're struggling so much is your relationship is so unbalanced. Like when you tell him to do something and he doesn't do it, the repercussions are almost zero. You tell him to stop pulling, he pulls you. You tell him to sit, he doesn't pull. You tell him to sit again. And that's why he doesn't, that's why this is going to get worse. So the beginning of our conversation, you said like, this is getting worse and it's going to continue to get worse until you start actually holding him accountable and really focusing on your baseline relationship. So you know, again, like an example is when you're out with him and you say, hey, don't do this, right? And he goes, and just does it anyway. That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And the worst case scenario is you just tell him to do it again. And that's, again, like think about management. Hey, I need you here at 9, they show up at 9:30. Hey, I need you here at 9, they show up at 9:30. Hey, I need you, it's a slap in the face over and over and over again. So when something actually happens, you don't matter. Because you don't, if you know what I'm saying? So that's something you really should start focusing on.
So stopping there for a minute, because mm-hmm. there's like a couple examples here of, okay, that's not, but what am I supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you would do for an example, let's say you're out, and this is something that you mentioned a couple times, is you tell him to sit, he doesn't want to. Again, you just stand there and you just tell him to sit. Sit, sit, sit. So you've already diluted your command. So you've already told the dog, what I say doesn't actually matter. This is open for discussion. This is a suggestion I want you to do. I don't actually want you to do it. So for an example, when you tell Sparky sit and he doesn't, you just give him leash pressure. You pull up on his leash and you put him into a sit. It's not an option. This isn't like, hey, could you do this? You tell him to sit and he's supposed to sit. So right now there's no accountability for him not sitting right now that he cares about, unless he would sit. Same thing with the heel. Same thing with recall. Everything you tell him, there's not a realistic accountability that he cares about. So just basically.
Okay. So on the sit one, instead of
telling him to sit again,
telling him to sit and not continuing to do anything until he sits.
Yeah.
It's to like pull up on the leash and like force him into a sit.
No, you would give him a correction. You're not forcing him into a sit would be pushing his butt down to forcing him to sit. If he knows the behavior, you'd correct him for not sitting. So if your dog knows sit, do you think he knows sit?
Yeah, he knows sit.
So when you tell him to sit, he's flipping you off and saying, I don't listen to you. And you're going,
right.
Well, I'm going to ask you again. And that's ruining your relationship. And that's why it's getting worse.
No, I understand. I get that. I understand that. What am I supposed to do? You're saying pull back on the leash and,
no, like,
and do what?
You would, if you have a regular collar or martingale collar, you would apply a little bit of pressure up. So you'd say, Sparky, sit. And if he doesn't, you'd apply a little bit of pressure up. He puts his butt on the ground. You say, good sit. And you hold that sit until you give him a break command. That's just like do you have a break command with him? Like a release or like a free?
No.
That's going to be
helpful. I don't
know
what that means.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen anyone else do that. So I don't know what you mean when you say that.
Yeah, sure. That's a very basic like part of basic obedience is release. So like, let's say for an example, if you tell a dog to heel, which is like, I think what you're saying, like no pull or something. It doesn't really, to be honest with you, Kate, it doesn't really matter what you say. It's just what it means to the dog. So you can say heel or with me or whatever. It doesn't matter. But let's say for an example, to make it easy, heel, which is walk nicely at my at my heels, or sit for an example. When you tell a dog sit or heel or whatever, you want to have a release command, which is break or free, which is like you say break or you say free. And then that gives the dog, you can be a dog now. You can be in front of me. You can sniff. You can go pee, go poop. You can be a dog. And so if you have this very like black and white binary work, play, it makes it really, it's kind of like your soldier thing where you tell him to sit and his release or you're done sitting when the person passes and you get paid. You just want to cue it. What you and Sparky need the most is clarity, right? You need, you really need better communication. You need clarity. You need confidence and structure and all that and stuff. It's just really healthy for you guys to say, hey, I think you're a little confused. We need to clear things up, Sparky. Okay. This is what these things mean. It's non-negotiable because if you bite somebody, it sucks. I mean, that's why you're in this position. That's why you're spending so much time and money into training. And I'm looking at this situation like these are non-negotiable things in training, and this is really low-hanging fruit here. Like you tell me, you know, Sparky's lunging at people, but at the same time, when you tell him to do something, nothing happens. It's like, okay, these things make sense. But when you're doing sit, he's going to hold that sit until you release him or until you put him into another position.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you would go, for an example, like what I do with dogs, especially puppies or it doesn't matter if they're puppies or not, but just newer dogs who are learning this stuff, is I would work on, for an example, I would go non-distraction. I would say, Sparky, sit. And if he doesn't, so let's say the dog knows sit, right? And you say sit, and he's like, nah, I don't want to, right? It's like, hey, man, I'm not, this isn't, like, here's what I want you to, and I explained it, but I want to make sure that you're comfortable with it. When you tell a dog to do a behavior, like, your job as a dog owner is to provide leadership and clarity to the expectations, right? Because they're animals and they're kind of leaning on you for like, hey, I'm an animal with no thumbs. What do you, I'm gonna, you know, how am I supposed to live life, right? So when you say, Sparky, sit, and he's like, and again, as long as he knows it, and he's going, no, you're correcting him. So you're causing him some sort of, what you're doing is you're snapping the leash, you're pulling up on the leash, you're going, hey man, like snap out of it. You're really trying to get his attention, like somebody who's not paying attention, and you're snapping at him, or you're tapping his shoulder and say, "Hey, pay attention." That's what a correction is. Like when we're driving and we hit the rumble strips, like that's the thing right now. Is right now, the worst case scenario is if you go off the road, you're like, "I'll get back on the road and try it again." You're trying to really teach him what's appropriate behavior and what's not. And if there's not accountability for his behaviors, it's going to make his reactivity worse. So if you do the sit, good sit, and then you say, okay, break, and then you give him a break or you give him a free, and that allows him to be a dog. And it's the same thing with the heel. Like before when you said, I say no pull, he goes right back to pulling. Like I would, stopping what you're doing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it has to be in conjunction with something else, because that's not enough accountability or punishment for the dog to go, oh, I don't want to do that again. Right. If you say, let's say there's a kid walking by with a family or whatever, right? For an example, and you say, Sparky, sit. And he's thinking, oh, I know sit. And I'm just trying to give you a point of view from the dog. I know sit, but this family's coming and whatever. It doesn't matter if he hates people or he's nervous about people. He's thinking in his mind, the worst case scenario for me not sitting for mom right now is she's just going to ask me to sit again. And so he's going to plow through that, right? Which is part of the problem that you're having sometimes is that control in those situations. And so I think it's really imperative for you in particular to really be working on those basic principles of heel and sit, for an example. Like if you're out with him, heel, sit, and break are like really important right now. When you tell your dog to walk nicely on a leash, to me, it sounds like, I think anything that you ask him to do right now, he's like, A, I'm not going to do it, and B, maybe I don't know it well enough to actually do it. I don't really know that answer, but
I actually think he tries to, like, he wants to do the right things, and that's why I said like 95% of the time when I soldier command, he does it. Mm-hmm. He's actually, I do think that there's like a thing here where like I'm not right. Like I need to make the communication clear, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's just the example of like when he's pulling and then I tell him to sit, then I think that is him being stubborn. But in other situations, like the soldier, I can tell that he wants to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I believe you. And you're probably right. I just think like, again, like looking at this from 20,000 feet above and just zooming out and going, okay, what's going on here? I mean, there's a lot that goes into this, and this conversation is just a consult. And majority of dog owners that I talk to, my job is to sort out like, hey, it's kind of like going into a mechanic or a dog. You're like, hey, here's all the things that are happening. I'm like, okay, I've seen this 1,000 times. Let me tell you what likely is happening, and here's how to, you know, it's not like I know exactly what's happening or whatever. I have a really good feeling that if you tell me, hey, my dog is jumping and nipping people, and I turn around and say, hey, if you can't do a successful sit without a lot of distractions, it doesn't matter how much your dog is reacting. You have bigger problems, right? Like let's, for an example, if somebody comes into my facility and they say, Tom, my dog has bitten 4 people and has put 3 dogs in the ER, whatever. I'm like, okay, not good. Well, come on back. And I say, put your dog into a sit, and they can't. I don't care about any of the other stuff. It doesn't matter. Cause I'm like, you want to conquer the world right now, but you don't even know how the very basics, and these are very important things. And that's been my secret sauce over the years working with such dogs and also successfully rehabilitating these dogs and working with people, is I'm focusing on the real problem here. And it's like you said, when you tell your dog to do something and they don't want to do it, Sparky's like, I'm not doing it. And so like, again, your mom comes in, Sparky, come. Nope. So you have to put him away. So it's the same. So my point is I would love to sit here and tell you, hey, here's how to correct your dog and punish your dog in a way that your dog understands. And we'll talk about that, but it's more than, and I want you to know that it's more than that. It's more than, hey, Tom, I tried scatter feeding. I tried positive reinforcement only, but mainly what I do is 99% positive reinforcement, but it's not only. I wouldn't do anything only, especially in the dogs, because what if it doesn't fit? Just like you've tried it 1, 2, 3. Okay, this isn't working. Okay, now what? Right. And so, and this, and by the way, might I add, Again, 99% of my ethos is positive reinforcement based training. I reward a dog when they do something good, but by definition, that's what positive reinforcement training is. At no point in time is positive reinforcement supposed to stop behaviors. That's not what it's for. It's supposed to develop behaviors. So if we keep teaching a dog, here's what to do something right, once the dog does something wrong, that goes actually out the window. You can't reward a dog when they do something wrong and expect them to go, oh, great. No. But at the same time, sometimes positive reinforcement only training is so involved with antics that when you're developing dogs with positive reinforcement only, they still don't it's not successful with
what's wrong.
Yeah. And also too, okay, it's like important for you to know that when you're using positive reinforcement only, the objective for that is to develop, shape, mold, and teach what we want the dog to do. And if you've used three different training scenarios of that, or even three different sessions with one person, I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. That's irrelevant. My point is you still aren't doing the things that positive reinforcement is supposed to be doing, which is shaping the dog on sit means sit, down. So you're missing it's like yin to yang, right? You're missing the other end. So like you said, like, let's say we say Sparky sit and he's like, okay, yeah, I'll sit for now. And then boom, a squirrel or a chipmunk or a person, boop, he's up. But the problem is once he's up, he basically is said, I'm no longer sitting for you. I am doing what I want. And that opens the door for him to go, they're getting closer. I'm nervous. And he's building and building. And then you're just hanging on. And so the moment that he gets up, it's like, hey man, I asked you to sit, put your butt back on the ground and sit down. This isn't an option, right? I'm cashing out. I'm walking down the street. I'm emailing. Who cares? But when you tell him to do something using positive reinforcement, you're still not 100% with that anyway, right? It's not like you said, Tom, when I tell my dog to do something, he's 100%. And in fact, it's been the opposite. You told me when you're out and you tell him to not pull, he pulls anyway. When you tell him to sit, it's sometimes he doesn't, but that's fine. Everyone deals with that. I deal with that. And it's not 100%. But my point is I think you should really be focusing on two things is understanding that a dog that you got, and is now three that has had some insecurity and fearful issues. And you're trying to develop this confident dog that listens to you and respects you and looks at you for direction. I think that that's a healthy expectation. I think right now what you're lacking is that structure and what that means and discipline and respect. Like when you tell him to sit and he's like, no. And then you're like, well, sit, you know, it's kind of like sending your kid to the, like, hey man, you got to sit down and do your homework. They're like, no. And you're like, okay. What ends up happening is here's what you're kind of dealing with a little bit. And again, this is just the context that I know. It just seems to me when you tell him to sit, do your homework, he's like, no. It just bubbles up other places. Okay, it's time to do your dishes. Nope. Time to go to school. Nope. It just, once they feel like they can get away, and I don't think your dog, I don't think Skippy is, or sorry, Sparky is doing this maliciously of like, oh no, I don't want to listen. I just want to be mischievous. I don't think that's the case. I think he gets nervous. And I think he's like, what do we do? But because he's so used to just blowing through your cues, like your behaviors, when you tell him to sit when there's minimal distractions, or you tell him to stop pulling when there's minimal distractions, and it's, let's say, 50-50 to be fair, when there's something around that makes him nervous, it then goes to, there's a 99% chance he's not going to listen. And I think if you started working on like correcting him for these types of, because that's the only thing you haven't done yet, is you've basically just said, hey, if you do what I ask when I ask you, you get paid. But if you completely ignore me and blow me off, nothing happens. And I think that I don't have to tell you that that doesn't work. You've already seen that that doesn't work. But I think, so now the next step is, because that's, okay, Tom, get it. What's the next step is going out with a leash and a collar that has action, right? So safely being able to hold a dog accountable without choking them and causing them all that's not the point. The point is when you say Sparky sit, you pop the collar, you pull up. I can send you some videos after this actually that'll be really helpful for you, so you can just watch them on your own time. That's gonna, because again, this is just a 1-hour conversation of like a revamp. I'll send you some YouTube videos. You can watch them at your leisure. But I think it's going to be really important for you to like go over thresholds, because your baseline relationship is when I ask you to do something, it's maybe you do it, maybe you don't. And I just think right now that that's something you should really be focusing on, is that baseline.
Okay. But also that baseline with like, so like this obviously sit, but we don't, I don't have like a heel command or a break, and I don't.
Yeah, I can show you.
I need to develop those.
I think so. Like, here's, you know, I think every dog deserves that. Like, I think if we're going, like, dogs have four legs, we have two, right? And it doesn't matter if you called me and said, Tom, I just got this cute German Shepherd puppy at 9 weeks. What do I do? Loves everybody. Great. It'd honestly be the same thing. I would say, okay, let's start with your foundation. So the heel command, for an example, is just the dog walking at your heels. It's something you have to develop. But essentially what it means is Sparky, walk next to me. And then the break is be a dog. Kind of like your soldier. Somebody's coming, Sparky sit. When they pass, you can break. But it has to be on your cue. You can't just say, sit down. He's like, I'm done. Because that's where you're running into issues. He may be sitting. You're sitting there holding on. You're kind of tense because you're sucking him close to you with the leash, which isn't great because you're making him more tense, right? So the heel is something that you develop. It's a very basic behavior most people don't have, right? People get dragged all over the place all the time. And here's the thing that I just want to point out too is some people may say like, I don't really need heel because my dog's on a flexi and a harness and they can do what they want. And that may be true. But the thing is when I see people getting either dragged or constantly pulling people around, the problem with that is if you let go of the leash, your dog's probably just going to continue on without you. Like, they don't care that you're there. They're not engaged with you. I'm not saying they don't love you. I'm just saying like, you don't matter on that walk, which is a huge problem because they're completely disengaged and disconnected with you. And that's, to me, it's like, if I stop, I want my dog to go, oh, hey, where'd you, and they come back, right? Like, that's healthy. You don't want them to go, see you later, and they take off. So the heel command is more than just telling a dog, don't pull and walk next to me. It's more about a connection. It's more about a relationship. It's more about engagement. We're going to go outside. I want you to heel. Hey, there's kids. Hey, my grandma's going to walk you. My mom's going to walk you. I don't want you to pull them around. Dog walker, whatever, right? So you say Sparky heel. And in order to do this, it's super simple. It just takes time and development. Again, I'm going to send you a couple of videos because I have several on this, and that'll be really helpful to show you with a dog. But essentially, you start off in very small increments. So let's say you have a martingale collar. Are you familiar with that? It like pulls through. Yeah. It's like a flat collar mixed with like a slip collar kind of. Okay. Or you can use a slip leash or a slip collar. But the idea is you start off, you got some food. If he's food motivated, it's helpful, but it's not predicated on that. But, and you move forward and you say Sparky heel. And if he stays with you, you're going to say good heel. But the moment he's like, I'm gone. Get out of here, mom. I'm out of here. Disengage. I'm gone. You correct him with the leash, pop, pop. You're just popping the leash back. And this is where a lot of dog owners mess up, is they pull the dog back, or they wait for the dog to get in front of them and they pull back. The problem with that is dogs are savages, right? I've seen dogs pull people. I've seen dogs, unfortunately, pull grown humans down the road without care, right? And it doesn't matter if they have a prong collar on or if they have a slip collar on, they don't care. Like, they're so insensitive. Yeah. It's incredible, actually. The point is you're trying to snap that leash to snap the dog out of what they're doing, to get their attention, to say, hey, and I typically, that's called what I call a verbal correction. So when we say good sit, that's like a verbal reward, right? The dog likes hearing you say good sit. They're like, oh, cool, I did something. And usually it's reinforced by food or something. But I usually will enforce my leash correction, or I'm sorry, so if I say and I use the leash to kind of correct the dog, and I'm only going 5 feet. So I say, so again, if you came into me and you said, hey, I'm having these issues, I would say heel your dog. And if you can't heel your dog 5 feet from one place to the other, there, we have no shot at stopping your dog from reacting or doing all these behavioral things because you don't have the very, 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 very basic communication skill sets. Same thing with sit. And again, this happens like clockwork. If you watch some of my YouTube videos, dog owners come in with all these external symptomatic behaviors, barking, lunging, biting, attacking, happens every day. And I say, okay, come on back, put your dog into a sit. They tell their dog to sit. They either don't do it. The dog puts their butt on the ground. 2 seconds later, they're up. I'm like, this is a much bigger problem. The reason why your dog is actually reactive is because of your lack of this base. So getting back to the heel, you would go 3 steps, let's say, to make it easy. Sparky heel, 1, 2, 3, you stop. If the dog pulls, pop, 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 you're popping the dog back on the collar. And once they get back into position, you say good. And you move forward and you're really trying to just teach the dog the heel position. If you're here, positive reinforcement. Good heel, good heel. Like you can say it, you can reinforce it, you can use food, you're verbally just praising the dog like crazy. Good job. But the thing that you're missing right now is the moment the dog goes, I'm out, I'm done, there's a person, there's a dog, whatever, is you're just hanging on, try again. Hanging on, trying again. It's like a kid sitting down going, 1 + 1 = 3. 1 + 1 = 3. You're not saying, hey, actually, buddy, 1 + 1 = 2. Like you're not assertively correcting what's wrong. You're just, do it again, do it again, do it again, right? Same thing with your sit. It's the same, kind of the same thing, right? You're like, Sparky, sit. And he's like, boom. And then immediately gets up, or maybe he doesn't sit and you're just waiting, you know? And I just don't want you to have to be so frustrated. It could be so much simpler with that quick correction, right? Just to say, hey, knock it off.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And then same thing with break. So let's say you're heeling, sitting, and breaking, right? So you're heeling forward. You say heel. 1, 2, 3, 4. You stop. Good heel. Sparky sit. He sits. Good. You pay him however you see fit. Reward with your voice or with food. And you say, okay, break. And then sometimes what I do is I take a ball or I take a piece of food and I just throw it in front of the dog and I say, break. And they can do what they want. And here's what this does. Once you start holding the dog accountable for sitting and heeling, meaning he knows that if he gets up, he gets corrected and he gets punished and you're holding him accountable, like however you want to say it, a correction, holding him accountable, making sure that he's punished for, and punishment is kind of like this weird word that a lot of people like to throw around. Like punishment is like it's an absolute pinnacle in our life. Like if there's no punishment, then we'd have anarchy. If there was no law enforcement, right? Or whatever you want to call it. Like it's just crazy. How that's gotten to that point where it's like punishment's like this weird word in dog training where it's like you're just correcting the dog for doing something they don't want, which is what you haven't done yet, right? You've learned how to reward your dog for things we like, good, but you haven't ever learned and you haven't ever corrected your dog effectively, right? You've said no, you've shaken your finger. How's that work? It doesn't, right? So once you start, like your dogs don't understand English, as you know, I don't have to tell you that, but it's important to know that when you're doing this, you want to make sure that when you correct the dog, it's just, all you're doing is clarifying. Nope, that's wrong. This is what I want you to do. Good, good, nice, good sit, right? And that's something you just haven't done. And that's really where you should be starting with all of this. If you tell him to sit and he gets up, you give him some leash pressure and you correct him. You go, nope, actually you have to sit. And that's very, very important. What questions do you have on that?
I mean, I'll look at the videos because I just want, like, I, you know, just to make sure that I understand. And well, I have to get the martingale collar because I don't have those. I have, I just actually got a prong collar, but we haven't used them a lot. So I think the martingale is probably like a,
yeah,
I
you
know,
can,
what do you think?
Okay. You can do both. So there's a ladder here. So, and there's, every dog responds differently. just like people, right? When you teach them stuff, they're like, yeah, I could care less. And other people are like, oh, I love this, right? So you can, you, if you have a prong, you can use it. But here's the thing is, you have, I'm going to write a list down. So you have to use it right and you have to size it right. Cause people are like, oh, Tom, I see all this success with prongs and the comments and everyone loves them. And, well, you know, people who don't believe in punishment don't love them, of course, but why, you know, that's besides the point. Okay. But the point is, I'll send you a video on that too, but you can totally use the prong. It's the same exact thing. It just gets the dog attention. It gives them a correction. It gives you communication. But most people who use prong collars see enormous success. I even have people that end up watching my videos going, I can't believe he's using it. And then they end up getting one and they're like, wow, this is a game changer. So I'll give you a video on that too, because that's going to be really helpful for you. And think about this. The tools are just an extension of you. And some people get to a point, like you have a three-year-old pit bull that has some fearful reactivity issues. If you had gotten this dog as a puppy and you started developing this dog, the less likely you'd have to use tools. That doesn't mean you can't ever use a prong collar or even a remote collar for off-leash communication. It just means the usage of the tool is going to be less because the dog knows more. Right now, you're playing catch up. Like you're trying to play catch up here to say, hey, we need to kind of get this done really fast. The prong collar is totally fine for you to use. You just want to use it right. Because it's a pit bull, it doesn't have insulator coat. We have this guard hair coat, right? So it's not, I'm going to send you a link of another collar I would actually suggest called a Starmark plastic collar. And that is actually a really nice hybrid between the martingale collar and the prong collar. It's like a plastic prong collar. It's really, really good for pit bulls and vishlas and boxers and dogs who just have like that one. They don't have fur, right? They're not huskies or shepherds. So I'm going to send you that link. And it's super, it's like 10 bucks on Chewy or Amazon. Okay. It's the same thing though. It's the same principle. You're just using a different piece of equipment to see if, to help your communication. But at the end of the day, when you say, hey, Sparky, sit, and he looks up and goes, screw you, I'm not sitting. And you're like, I'm just going to ask you again, sit. And he's like, this is a joke. That's what's happening, right? Once you start correcting him and you go, sit, and he's like, nope. And you give him, he's going to go, oh, you're serious. Like there's actual accountability. Like I can actually get in trouble for not listening to you. And you go, yeah, listen up. And I can almost promise you, and I'd love to, I'm going to send you my email so you have it. I'd absolutely love to work with you on this project and love to hear your feedback, because I just think, I feel bad because you've been led down this road, and it has nothing to do with how these people were training. It's just, it's more about, you've been kind of sucked into this vortex of like, this is what I have to do and everything else is terrible. And I'm like, I just think it's more than that. I think you've done 70% of the things you should. And then there's the other percent that you're missing. And I think once you start implementing the things that you're missing, you're going to go, oh man, it's like taking a supplement that you didn't know you were deficient in. You're like, wow, I feel so much better. So I'm going to send you a follow-up email, which I, to be honest with you, don't typically do. It only because it's just like, I really feel like you can see huge, huge results with a little bit of change. And I'm going to send you a follow-up email with some links and some equipment. And I'd love to continue to help you with this project. Because I think you guys both have great potential. Obviously you want to see change with your dog. Obviously you love your dog and your dog loves you. You're just struggling to have good communication. And I think that that's all that's happening is the communication is not great. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, all of this makes sense. You know, that's, I definitely, I mean, it's like frustrating because you're like, going into it like, okay, I have no knowledge or skills with dogs or a lot of experience with dogs, but then you know, recognizing like, oh, this dog is like fearful and this is probably not how, like, you know, you've interacted with enough friends' dogs to know that like not all dogs are scared of everything and blah blah blah. And then, you know, to take them to like multiple trainers and being like, you know, and then just have it not
I know
work, but yet you also see that your dog, or like the way my dog is with me, he's like so loving and great.
Yep.
So it's like, how do I pull this to the front and like help him reduce his anxiety and
yep.
I don't know, just make life better for both of us.
Yep. And I'm telling
and
you, right.
To not have like success with like thing, you know, like you said, spend a bunch of money and then just be like, okay, well that didn't, this isn't really helping.
Yep.
It's hard, you know?
It is. It's frustrating. It's sometimes
it's
even, yeah. Yeah. And it's sometimes even, it can be debilitating. I mean, I've even had dogs, people like get rid of their dogs because they're like, this isn't working. And I'm like, oh no, don't, you just haven't done the right thing. You know, it's like,
right.
You know what I mean? And that crushes me. And it truthfully, honestly crushes me when that happens. Cause I'm like, you are so close, you know, you're just getting misguided. And again, I don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and talk shit about other people because that's not, I don't need to do that. That's not my, what does that do? Right. What does that solve? But if you're working with a bunch of training camps and it's just not working, it doesn't mean that maybe they're bad or something. It just means that it's not going to be helpful for what you and your dog need. And I think it's important for you to just go, okay, this isn't working. We need to, and you did. That's why you're talking to me, right? And I want to help you with this. So I got to jump to my next call, but I'm going to send you a follow-up email and I'm going to walk you through this process. And I'm going to help you because I don't want you to think that your dog's bad. I don't want you to think that you're not good enough. I just know that you're just not, you're not doing the right things. So to me, I'm like looking at this and I feel terrible because you're like, I'm doing this and this isn't working. I'm like, yeah, of course. Like to me, it's like what you're saying. He's like, Tom, it's like, it's raining outside and I went outside and got soaked. I'm like, yeah, like that's, you know, so I have nothing to prove here. I truthfully believe that you're just not doing some of the crucial things that you need to be successful. And I'm going to send you a follow-up email with some links and some equipment stuff by the end of the night because I have a couple more calls. And just please let me know if you have any questions.
Okay.
Perfect. All right.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.